Okay, our final speaker is Philip Carl Salzman, and then we're going to go to question and answer. Go ahead, Philip.
Thank you. The historian of science, Alice Drager, in her book Galileo's Middle Finger, Heretics, Activists, and One Scholar's Search for Justice, says, academic freedom must mean tolerating an unpredictable plurality of ideas and voices. That toleration, I think, has largely disappeared from North American universities today. And the reason is there's been an almost religious conversion to a new morality, an official conversion to a new morality. And that is a substantive morality, not a morality of discussion, but a morality of knowing what's right and what's wrong. That morality is generally labeled social justice. And social justice is operationally defined as diversity, inclusion, and equity. This new morality has been officially established and enunciated in almost all universities. Special officers have been appointed, called diversity officers, at every level of the university, from vice presidents down to assistant deans, even in departments, to supervise and ensure that the norms of the new morality are followed. And deviants from that morality are either re-educated or expunged. This is not limited, however, to universities. It was said earlier that it would be good if university officials did something about the problems with academic freedom and free speech in universities. But they're fully behind social justice, and in no way prepared to return to the old days of a plurality of ideas and voices. But it's not just them. They have also been given demands and instructions from academic associations, scientific associations, that all have adopted this new morality. And the government, too, up to the highest level, has required universities to adopt this. The Canadian national government has sent demands to every university president to conform to social justice morality. So what is social justice morality? It's the exclusive focus on equality to the exclusion of all other values, to the exclusion of freedom, truth, prosperity, merit, excellence, or any other value. But it's not our father's idea of equality. It's not equality before the law. It's not equality of opportunity. It's equality of outcome. So it's a very extreme notion of equality, but its unique features are not limited to that. It's as well applied not just to individuals. Individuals don't much count anymore. It's applied to census categories of people, to racial groups, religious groups, sexual groups, sexuality groups. And by so doing, requires that outcomes be the same for every such category in any organization or any activity. What this in fact has led to is a kind of an adaptation of the Marxist class conflict system to an identity class conflict system. And you see that playing out in the demands of various racial, religious, sexuality groups on campus, demanding special circumstances, special preferences, special benefits, special ceremonies, special housing, special dietary arrangements. And so the campus now has become a forum for this identity class conflict. Of course, in class conflict, there are good guys and bad guys. And the bad guys are people who are, as they say, overrepresented. They've been too successful. So there's considerable action, as we know, in admissions against Asian students who, although they're people of color, they've been too successful and therefore have to be displaced by others who are underrepresented and have been so far less successful. And also, of course, movements against men and against whites because they are overrepresented and are characterized as oppressors. So university, as elsewhere in the society, now is seen as consisting of oppressors and victims. And the victims, by the new morality, must be given special benefits and special preferences. One of those benefits and preferences is that their ideas should not be challenged by anyone, because if they are challenged by anyone, then the comeback is that they're the oppressor, so they should stay silent and apologize for their oppression. So this is what lies behind the loss of academic freedom and free speech in universities. It's a cultural revolution, and it's changed our universities just as it's changing our society at large.